California has a new rock station. KCLA.
The opinions expressed on this program are those of the program's host and do not necessarily reflect the opinions of the management of this radio station or the management of the American Radio Network. The producer and the host of this program are solely responsible for the opinions.
Hey everybody, this is DJ Ravenwolf. You tuned in to the bestofhitradio.com, KCLA FM 99.3 Los Angeles, around the world on KCLAFM.com, and a whole bunch of other stations as well. And as promised, we're running a little bit behind because Ustream, for some reason, is not kicking in like it's supposed to. They're pissing me off. I need a good live server. We've got Mr. Eric in the studios, and we've been talking... before he got here, we were talking about the paranormal stuff, the ghost hunter stuff. A lot of the viewers, my viewers and listeners, have been watching a lot of these reality shows, which have been exploding all over the place lately. You got Honey Boo Boo, and you get the Duck Guys, and all this other crazy stuff. And I happen to know a lot of people around here that have been actors that have played parts on like Family Jewels and things like that. So the reality shows are basically, there's nothing really real about them. They're scripted and it's a storyline of some sort, but people just can't stop watching them. And then the other thing that's been really picking up is the paranormal stuff, like Ghost Hunters and Ghost Adventures and Paranormal Witness and all this other stuff. And they're some of them are produced to appease the voyeuristic type of thing. You know, people always want to know if it's real or not. I happen to watch Ghost Hunters on YouTube, and I had to call BS on that because it was. I saw some things like, I know better than that. You know, they. I think they're at the Waverly Sanatorium in Kentucky, Wilder, Kentucky. And there was an area where there was supposedly a morgue, and they had these three places where they slide the bodies in and stuff. So one of the dudes decided he's going to go in the thing and lay
the
down.
The death tunnel.
Huh? Yeah. Well, the dude, I'm watching him, and I saw him lay down, but I saw him holding something in his hand. You can tell when, you know, if I'm holding this or holding something, you can see it the way he's holding it. He's got his arms crossed in front of him. The camera crew leaves a few seconds, and then all of a sudden we hear him screaming and yelling and stuff, and they come back, and now he's got scratches right about where he was holding that thing, and then the scratches on his back, which were like spread out, because if you're going to reach back there, yeah, you spread a little bit further, you know.
Right, that's why you can't reach in the shower.
Yeah, and I'm like, okay, that's crap. I know that's crap. And then same guy, he was supposedly up on the fifth floor by himself, and he went into this particular room. Supposedly the door shut. He couldn't get out of the room. He's trapped. Oh, my God, help, help, help. He's banging on the door. He can't get out. So he calls his buddy on the cell phone. And supposedly these guys are in the dark, okay? And he calls his buddy on the cell phone. Within 20 seconds, his buddy opens the door up from the other side. So instead of pushing on the door, oh, I can't get out, you should have just opened the damn thing. You know, I'm like, this is so crap. So so a lot of my listeners have been picking up on some of these things and wanting to know, look, is this just really good TV, or is it real, or what, you know, what's the deal? So that's why I invited you here, and because you've been doing it for quite some time, and I'm pretty sure, you know, when you first got started in this, you're probably in the same question, like, you know, come on.
Well, I got started in this before those shows were really popular.
Right. So tell the listeners a little bit about what got you into it. What was it that got you plunged into this thing?
Well, I originally got into it. I had been on a few websites that were social sites, like My People Connection and Sierra Club, where I got to do activities like camping in Yosemite or going hiking or having dinners. And I had a lot of fun doing that. So I looked for other types of groups, and I found a paranormal group, and I thought, hey, this is really cool, you know.
Right.
And I had always been a fan of horror films and that sort of thing. So I said, hey, I'll give this a shot. And I had been studying the occult for a little bit at that time, mm-hmm. and paganism, and it just all seemed to kind of blend together. So I decided to give this group a shot, and you know, we went to a few interesting places, nothing really exciting at that time. Prior to that, I had been going, you know, just to some urban legend type places like the Gravity Hills that you have in every major city, mm-hmm. And places such as that, you know, places like the Manson Caves, what have you.
Right.
And one thing just led to another. This was before Meetup got really big, and then people started going on Meetup and they started having more paranormal groups. The show started to come out one after another. First, of course, with the first major show that really started a trend was, of course, Ghost Hunters. Mm-hmm. And people seemed to jump on the bandwagon and create these Meetup groups. And I joined a couple of those, and mm-hmm. we started going to some more interesting places than I had with the prior group I was with. Actually, I wouldn't consider being with them, because it was kind of a loose end type of thing where just people kind of like tagged along. Mm-hmm. There weren't really any members, so to speak. But I became a member of a couple of groups on Meetup. And one of the first places that we went to was Hillside Cemetery in Redlands, where myself and two other investigators saw and actually got chased by our first full body apparition.
Really?
Yeah, that was kind of scary. I mean, we didn't just see the thing started chasing us. Mm-hmm. And I remember I made the comment, it's just like a dog. If you show fear, you know, it's going to come after you. Mm-hmm. So we were all trying to calmly, you know, briskly walk away from this thing. And we started going there more frequently, and I started getting attachments, which wasn't fun, but I started to become more involved with it and joined more groups. And then I joined a group called SCPD, run by Jean-Pierre Giannoli. His brother Marcello was a psychic. We did quite a few residential investigations. Mm-hmm. And eventually I started my own group, Valley Investigators of the Paranormal.
Right. So when you were being chased by this thing, that was one of the things somebody else suggested, was that a lot of these groups start off with, okay, this house is haunted, this guy was killed here, this lady was killed here. And so you're going in with prior knowledge, okay, we're expecting to see this guy or this chick or whatever. And it kind of plays into your mind a little bit that you're expecting to see something. So when you were chased, or when you went into this place, did you have any idea what was here, or did anybody, hey, this thing's going to be chasing you, or did it just happen?
I didn't really know any of the activity. I also was with a group called, it was called SoCal. You know, I can't even remember the name. I apologize, Lori.
That's okay.
That was the founder of the group. But she had talked about a few things that had gone on at local cemeteries.
Right.
I remember at one cemetery, there was a guy called Running Man. And she had mentioned a few things, but nothing too much. So I didn't really have all that much detail going into these places. Mm-hmm. I knew that there was one area of the cemetery called Apparition Alley, mm-hmm. which was where we actually saw the entity.
Okay.
But other than that, I didn't really know anything about it, other than like that the children's section was, you know, an active place.
And really?
Just small details like that.
When you go into these places, I've heard from other groups that a lot of times they'll try to do some kind of research first to find out where they're going or what they're getting into, as far as like cemeteries or buildings or anything like that, because it's like I said, I lived in Memphis for a while, and the boarding house that I was living in used to be a hospital during the Civil War. So a lot of these old buildings, especially in a big city, used to be something else before it is what it is now.
Right.
So when you're, if you go into a place that may be haunted and you say, well, let's do some history, and you find out it used to be a bunch of Indians that were slaughtered there or something, you know, do you guys do any kind of research before you go in, or do you just go cold, or what?
Well, especially with VIP, we like to find places that had historical import, mm-hmm. that preferably actually weren't investigated before. Mm-hmm. Now, we did have a psychic that we still use occasionally, She was really good at picking up stuff, especially on residential investigations. And we had a historian that was amazing. I don't know how she did what she did, but she was able to do more than just a common Google search mm-hmm. and find out, you know, this property used to be this, this property used to be that. There was a fire here. So-and-so died here. And this was information that was actually pretty hard to find, because I consider myself, and I've been told by others, that I'm a really good researcher. Mm-hmm. And she was able to find stuff that even went beyond the scope of what I was capable of finding.
Yeah.
And another one of the things is that one of the places that I like to investigate, a type of place I like to investigate, is restaurants that used to be used for other purposes. Mm-hmm. Like the White House in Anaheim used to be a home to, I believe it's three different families, mm-hmm. Most notably the Gervais family.
Right.
And the cellar in Fullerton, for example, was the basement of the old California Hotel. You know, so these places had histories long before they were restaurants. And I like to go to places that are like that just because, you know, they hold so much there. And the energy from the past combined with all the energy that's happening now kind of interblends. And it's conducive to a high level location.
Right. In Memphis, there was a lot of that kind of, there was a restaurant, a Mexican restaurant, that before it was a restaurant, it used to be a brothel. And people say they swore up and down they could see some of the prostitutes and all kinds of stuff had, kind of were hung and killed and stuff like that back in those days. And like I said, in my area where I was living in this house, it was a Civil War thing. It was a lot of history back there. I could go into certain parts of the woods and see cannons and train tracks and stuff. And then I find out that was used for transporting stuff. I'm like, wow. Mm-hmm. There, as far as history, it's kind of cool to peel back the layers to find out where it all ends up, you know?
Well, one of the places, the past 2 years, we've been having a Halloween dinner at a haunted location, which was Felipe's restaurant.
Mm-hmm.
The bottom floor prior to being Felipe's was a general store, and the upstairs was actually a bordello.
Ooh.
So we would invite people from the public to come to that and, you know, have a nice dinner and right. just be in a environment that has a long history.
Right. Now, when you guys are going out here, now, a lot of people have been watching the television shows, and maybe they've seen other things on YouTube where they're using all these little funny bits of equipment and things like that to find whatever it is that they're finding. How do you basically, first of all, the big question is, what's the difference between investigating and just go ghost hunting?
Well, when we do our investigations, we like to, especially if it's a residential, mm-hmm. we'll have a series of questions that we ask them, about 20 questions. Have you recently been to a haunted location? Are you taking any narcotics, whether legal or otherwise? Do you practice any kind of divination, such mm-hmm. as use of the Ouija board? So we'll have a whole series of questions that we go through. And we also like to bring a site report where we fill out. We were doing that quite intensively, actually, for a while.
Mm-hmm.
Both on residentials and public, where you find out everything from solar flares to geomagnetic storms and moon phases,
mm-hmm.
And also getting psychometric impressions when we had our psychic with us.
Really?
So we did more than just go in with the equipment and you know, start investigating with a K2 and a digital recorder. We had, you know, REM pods and spirit boxes.
Yeah.
You know, when we were able to have it, we had surveillance systems. So, you know, we didn't just go in as a hobby, so to speak. We took it a little bit more seriously than that.
Okay. Now, how do you guys do an investigation? I mean, how do you, there's got to be a difference in protocol when it comes to a residential as opposed to somebody's business or a hotel or a restaurant or something. How do you guys approach things like that? Are you invited there first, or do you, how does that work?
Well, the client will either email us or call us, mm-hmm. and then we'll go through the series of questions mm-hmm. With them and see, you know, if we think it's legitimate case, which actually most of them turn out to be. Mm-hmm. And we'll set up a date to go out there. And once again, we'll talk to the clients a little bit once we arrive and perform the investigation based on what they've been reporting to try to either debunk it or to try to find conclusive evidence that backs up their story. Mm-hmm. When we bring our psychic, she doesn't like to know anything.
Right.
So a lot of times we'll actually send her in first and she'll write down her impressions mm-hmm. and then we'll match them up at the end. Mm-hmm. And after the investigation, you know, we'll tell the client what our thoughts were, our initial thoughts were, and go back and do the evidence review and then present them to the client.
Right.
We've had quite a few investigations in the past that actually turned out to be demonic.
Really?
Yeah, where we had to refer them to a demonologist also. Okay. So sometimes it goes beyond the scope of what we deal with. I have done banishings and clearings before, mm-hmm. but usually we turn that type of thing over to someone who specializes in that area.
Okay. Now, that's another thing. There's a lot of people, maybe curiosity seekers or maybe wanting to do this themselves. How do you differentiate between a spirit or ghost with demon? Because I guess a lot of religious groups, anything of the paranormal is demonic and stuff. Whereas,
right.
you know, the other aspect is, well, there are angels, there are, you know, good things. But I mean, how do you differentiate the two?
Usually it's by, you know, sometimes it's actually hard to differentiate because if a person was angry in life, mm-hmm. they're going to be angry in the afterlife most of the time. So they could display actions and, you know, give you audio evidence that might tend to have some believe that it's demonic. Mm-hmm. So there's a really fine line that has to be, you know, deciphered. When we just did an investigation recently, I mean, we got EVPs where it was saying things that haven't been said, you know, words that people don't use anymore. Like we got an EVP that said, "You rot." Mm-hmm. And it wasn't rot like rot in a grave or something. It was rot like you brought war. Mm-hmm. You know, no one speaks that way these days,
wow.
you know?
Yeah.
And it was just giving us all these different things, you know, that aren't usually said in common language.
Right.
And there's a fine level also because sometimes the activity is obvious. I mean, we did a case in, I believe it was Simi Valley, mm-hmm. where I was sitting at a table with the client, and we actually saw both myself and the client saw in the kitchen, which was off from the dining room where we were sitting, we saw an arm that had an actual claw attached to it.
Wow.
Go through the kitchen. And right after that, the chandelier started swinging, and we heard what sounded like a woman. It sounded like she was in a well. That's how the voice sounded, like it was far away, but yet it was close up.
Mm-hmm.
If that makes sense, we heard a woman scream, and there was just all this activity going on that happened all at once.
Right.
That seemed a little bit more extreme than what a typical spirit would do. You know, especially seeing the claw. I mean, you see a claw, that's not a human,
Yeah.
Plus, what turned out to be there had broken the client's shoulder.
Wow.
Yeah, so.
And that was before you showed up.
That was before we showed up.
Okay, so they've actually had something, I guess, normally when the clients are calling you, they already know something's up. So
right.
they're not doing it. That was a friend of mine up in Maine. And for those of you who are trying to tune in on the Ustream, I apologize. If for some reason it is not coming in. I don't know if they've taken their server offline to do maintenance. But on KMAX, you can hear us right now. My friend up in Maine, they're with a group called Maine's Most Haunted, and they do a lot of stuff up there for the old, some of these older areas where they go in to do the pre-examination to find out if it's real or they just want to get on TV or what the deal is, you know? They try to debunk some of the new equipment that comes out to see if it's crap or a toy or whatever, you know?
Right.
when you're doing an investigation like this and you do find there is some kind of hostility or demonic activity, people are always worried that somehow it's going to come home with them or something.
Yes.
You know? So how do you guys prepare to go into this house, and how do you guys end the whole thing before you go home and perhaps destroy your household, you know?
Well, I was getting a lot of attachments, especially from Hillside Cemetery. At the time, mm-hmm. I was a strong empath.
Mm-hmm.
And fortunately, unfortunately, I don't know which one, my subconscious kind of turned that ability off just because I was having so much attachments.
Mm-hmm.
But I kind of adapted also. Whenever I go into an investigation, I kind of go with a clear mind.
Sure.
I like to leave everything external where it belongs. You know, I don't like to bring any drama or any, you know, negative emotions into an investigation.
Right.
Because they could definitely latch onto that. Spirits, entities, demons, they could also latch onto you when you're sick.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't like to investigate when I'm sick.
Right.
But that's probably the main thing I do when I go into an investigation, is just I try to be as clear-headed and positive as possible. And at the end of an investigation, I tell what's ever there that, you know, we respected it. It needs to respect us.
Mm-hmm.
It may not attach to our bodies, our energies, or auras.
Mm-hmm.
You know, no part of us, whether on the astral plane or physical, and that it can't come into our cars. And I basically just say, you know, we respected you. You need to respect us.
Yeah.
And so far, I haven't had any real problems. There was some slight residue from an investigation I did recently.
Mm-hmm.
Nothing too major. It might have even been sleep paralysis. I'm not really sure.
Sure.
The timing was kind of peculiar, though.
Yeah.
But the other thing I do is that when I get home, I pretty much say the same thing. You know, you're not allowed here. You're not invited here. You either need to go back to where you came from, or you need to cross over.
Yeah. And for the listeners that are, I guess a lot of them are interested in finding out about the equipment that you guys use. How do you use these pieces of equipment? What is a K2 meter for?
Well, there's a lot of equipment that measures either radio frequency waves or electromagnetic fields. They also have the geophone, which you know, if you're walking, it will pick up the footsteps.
Mm-hmm.
Then we have the REM pods that pick up the energy also. It has an antenna attached to it.
Mm-hmm.
I use a basic ghost meter, actually, which is like an old school meter,
mm-hmm.
you know, $30 meter. And it works great because it doesn't really get any false readings. If you're using the K2 and you have a cell phone on, you know, you could get blips from that.
Right.
The ghost meter doesn't tend to do that. It's also not as sensitive as a K2, though.
Right.
So it has its pros and cons.
Okay.
We usually like to have more than one piece of equipment to back the other one up. If you're getting results on a K2 meter and a REM pod,
mm-hmm.
and you know, you're getting an EVP at the same time, then that's pretty conclusive.
Yeah. That was one of the things with my friend Tammy when she was here. We were playing with the ghost radar. Now, one of the things that my friend up in Maine, they were trying to debunk ghost radar by pairing it up with some of the other equipment that they had, and they were actually getting some positive results off of it, so they kind of keep it. But I wanted to find, because Tammy has it on her phone, I've got it on mine, and I wanted to find out if it's real or crap. So sitting at my desk up here, she was standing over by the window. And the biggest, I guess, that, like I was telling Eric off the air, that the previous owner of this place, Dean, had died back in 2004. And I was always told he was here. He was very much into this building. This is his business. He's had this. He started it back in 1968 in New York, from all the way out here. It's been here for a long time. And this was his baby. So
this place feels haunted, by the way.
I know. There's a lot of people who said that. So every time I mention Dean Lewis, the blip shows up on the radar all the time. It always happens. I can talk. I've done it on video, or I've talked for a while, nothing. The minute I mention him, bloop, shows right up, and he stay there for a few seconds. So with Tammy standing by the window, I, you know, address Dean Lewis, and bloop, sure, like clockwork, he pops right up. And this time I saw it go behind me and go off towards her, and then it popped up on hers. And I'm like, okay, this is creepy. So I never met the guy. I started work here in 2008, so I knew some stuff about him, but I didn't know enough about him to really get into any simple questions. We moved to another section of the building just to make sure we're not getting any interference or just making things up in our mind.
Sure.
And she stood over in one area of the building, and I stood about maybe halfway down the hallway. And for some reason, he just disappears. And so she figures she's going to try to provoke. And I was like, okay. She does this. She goes, come on, talk to us. We're not afraid of you. You're going to do, you know, all this other stuff. And my ghostwriter goes up, bloop, and it says, bitch. And I'm like, uh-oh. And then I said, Dean, do you like Tammy? And it says, mouth. I'm like, oh, crap. So I said, Tammy, you pissed him off. And then he wouldn't talk to us for the rest of the night. So it was really odd. We get a lot of stuff now. When you said the place feels haunted, there's some apartments on the connected to the building that are, you know, off to the side a little bit. We had renovated one of them, and we were showing the apartment. One of our announcers brought a guy up there. The announcer goes into the room, and the guy just stopped at the door. He goes, did anybody die here? And announcer goes, I don't know. Mm-hmm. And he goes, I feel three spirits here. And he left. And he wouldn't go. He just turned around and left with a quickness and left the announcer standing there like, what the hell, you know? When he said three spirits, I thought it was interesting because the people that were here the longest was Dean Lewis, the owner, Connie, which was she was a general manager out in Anaheim, and then Lewis Edwards, who was the maintenance man here. He died 2 years ago in his sleep from alcohol. Connie died of about 2 years ago, maybe 1.5 years ago, from smoking so damn much she had cancer. And
well,
Dean,
I better quit.
yeah. Dean was another one. If you watch a lot of the training videos, you can count how many times he coughs and drinks as well. I mean, he was just bad. So yeah, there were three people that died. Now, that's just what I know. I don't know the history of this place to find out what it used to be beforehand. Mm-hmm. If it was, someone said it used to be a hospital, I don't know.
Oh, wow.
So
I could see that with all the little rooms here.
Yeah. I did a little bit of checking to find out that there was a woman that was living here. She was with the LA County Medical Department. She was a medical examiner back in 1900 to 1901 living here. So I don't know if it was a hospital or what. I don't know. It's a weird little building.
It looks like it used to be something with all.
Yeah.
I don't know if those windows are, you know, how it always was, but I'm looking right now and there's all these little rooms and there's like these room, like these windows that you'd see in a hospital type of setting. I don't know if those are original, but
yeah,
it definitely has that kind of, look like it could have been a clinic or
yeah. And if you go where Leo is, a lot of the bookshelves that are in there, there's a bunch of bookshelves, those were there. He never put them in there, so whoever it was, they, you know, might have used them. But yeah, the building definitely has some history to it, and we've always had some fun, especially in my room. You know, it's funky. And for the listeners, before we sign, we've got about a couple minutes before we sign off, just tell them, why did you get involved? I mean, you started off checking it out, but you've stayed in it for a long time.
Right.
So why do you still do this?
I was doing it for a while and I grew more and more interested in it.
Mm-hmm.
I got better at doing EVP sessions. I started going to more interesting locations. I've always loved abandoned buildings.
Mm-hmm.
And I was able to actually go to these places now and investigate them. And also I was able to help people using my skills with the EVP sessions and photography. I was able to get evidence that would substantiate people's claims. Because a lot of times people, you know, want to know, am I crazy or is there really something there?
Right.
And You know, we don't always give them the answer that we want. Mm-hmm. You know, sometimes we don't find anything, but when we do, it's always gratifying to let them know. And it's especially gratifying when we let them know that there's nothing negative there and they have the option of either learning to adapt with it, just like it's an exchange student or something, just someone visiting their home. Or if they want to know, tips on how to possibly expel it.
Okay.
So it's kind of gratifying. Maybe this is selfish, but also on a karmic level.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like I'm making a difference.
Sure.
And that's why I don't know where my path from today will go as far as the paranormal is concerned.
Right.
But I imagine it's something that I'll have some part in for quite a while.
Okay. And if people listening would like to get in touch with you as far as asking questions or maybe have you come check things out, if you're living in the California area, don't ask them to go to Nebraska or someplace because, you know.
We'll go to Nebraska if you pay the airfare.
Yeah. How can they get a hold of you? Do you have a website or is it Facebook or what?
Yeah, they could find us at www.valleyinvestigatorsoftheparanormal.com or on Facebook, Valley Investigators of the Paranormal. The group currently is on hiatus.
Mm-hmm.
However, just today, for example, we got a call from a client who wants us to come out and investigate her residence in the San Fernando Valley.
Mm-hmm.
We still have people that were able to have join us on our investigations. So we are still taking residential or commercial investigations for that matter. We're just not promoting it as aggressively as we did it in the past. But
right.
We definitely aren't turning things down. In fact, we're still working on securing our location for our annual Halloween haunted dinner.
Yeah.
And on Saturday, July 20th at 1 p.m., we're actually having a Summer with Spirits event. It's a picnic at the Los Encinos State Historical Park, which is a very haunted location in the San Fernando Valley. It's at the corner of Balboa and Ventura Boulevards. And this goes back hundreds of years. Wow. And original buildings are still there, so we're asking people to come out and join us, have a picnic, get some fun in the sun, and just have a good time at a haunted location.
Very cool. All right, man. I really appreciate you coming in. We're going to wrap it up. And, I'm looking forward to hearing more from you guys. I know you guys are on hiatus, but...
Can I say one last thing?
Yeah, sure.
Also, this Friday night at 10 p.m. Eastern time, myself and actually SoCal Paranormal Detectives as well are going to be on History Channel 2. I will be talking about the Black Dahlia hauntings, and SCPD will be talking about the Manson case.
Mm-hmm.
So check that out, History Channel 2, 10 p.m. Eastern Time this Friday.
And I actually had a privilege to interview Manson's son out here a couple of weeks ago at one of the things up in Tarzana. He's a really cool guy.
Oh, wow.
That's another story altogether. He's really cool. He's not as creepy looking as his dad is, and he's actually very well rounded. He's got a nice. He's got a band that sounds great. He's got a book out. It's doing very well.
Mm-hmm.
And he was the product of his father raping his mother, and so I asked him, "Well, how do you live with this knowledge that this is your dad and stuff?" He goes, "Well, I don't know what to do." He goes, "Do I write him and say, thanks, Dad, for raping my mom? I'm doing great." You know, I mean, you know.
I don't know if I should laugh at that.
Yeah, crazy. But yeah, man, thank you so much for coming
thank
out.
Thank you.
And I'm looking forward to hanging out with you guys at some point. If you do something around here, that'd be great, because going way the hell out in God knows where is kind of funky.
Yeah, we'd love to investigate this place.
I bet you would. This is DJ Rainbow with the Best of Hair Radio and KCLA FM 99.3 Los Angeles, around the world on KCLAFM.com, thebestofhairradio.com. You can catch us all the time on TuneIn.com and a whole bunch of other places. This thing will be edited for video. It will be put up on YouTube as soon as you decide to kick itself in a tail, and it'll be up on YouTube as well. We'll catch you guys all again right here on the Best of Hair.